Mr. Chairman, President Monson, Mr. President, Elder Baton, fellow graduates, ladies and gentlemen, when I was offered this high honor, I knew there must be a catch. Must I forgive Danny Ainge for destroying my alma mater, Notre Dame, in the 1980 NCAA playoffs? You'll recall, I recall it with horror, he raced the length of the floor, coast to coast, to sink a layup at the buzzer and beat my alma mater 51-50. No applause, please. Must I forgive BYU for again humiliating Notre Dame in 1994 in Notre Dame Stadium? BYU 21, Notre Dame 14. However, I was assured I would not be obliged to forgive nor forget, not even obliged to tithe. I stand for service to our great community. I do receive with purring pride, but I also must admit with a feeling of guilt. How can one in good conscience accept an award for being in love? All of my life, the state of Utah and its people have been a love affair for me. I hope that will be the experience of each of you who receive a diploma tomorrow, and with it the responsibility to move swiftly and resolutely into the affairs of your own community to help it and the world do whatever must be done in the never-ending struggle for human progress, equal opportunity. I say move swiftly with emphasis. There is so little time for any individual to make a meaningful contribution to that progress. Regardless of profession, or whatever niche in society fate places us, each of us as a member of the human race inherits obligations and goals we must assiduously pursue, but too often take too long to achieve. 63 years ago, when I was hired by the Salt Lake Tribune, we were urging city-county merger into a taxpayer-friendly, a welfare-enabling form of government. We're still urging it. Precious few goals to better this world, or even our own little part of it, are achievable in one lifetime. That exasperating factor in every world endeavor, time intervenes between achievement and inspiration, often not enough time, more often too much. Many opportunities are lost with the waste of time. After a century of universal recognition of the Great Salt Lake as a mineral and chemical treasury, 16 years of costly research, design, and construction were consumed before the magnesium project, which now provides 10% of the world's magnesium supply, produced its first ingot. 20 more years of perfection of process and frustration in the marketplace passed before the project realized a significant profit on its huge investment. And just this year, with its pollution, will its pollution problem be resolved? All of this to create only 400 jobs, so important to the daily bread progress for which we strive for all society. How long have we talked of Utah energy potentials in tars, in shales, in geothermal, wind and nuclear resources? How long have we cried for an energy policy to guide us and our neighbors to long-term solution? Still no long-term solution. Today, we are in energy crisis, the cost of which many of us, nor many job providers, can afford. It took 70 years and Olympic bid publicity, starting in 1965, for the world to discover the greatest snow on Earth. and to make my hometown, Park City, the wealthiest per capita in the state, and to replace manyfold the jobs lost when the mines of Park City quit operation. The Salt Palace Convention Center, this year, the year around, became keystone of our booming tourism business. It took 20 years to bring the Salt Palace Convention Center into being, 20 more years to see tourism mature into Utah's foremost industry and provide many of those necessary daily bread jobs essential to the advancement of our society. Way back when I couldn't wait for Christmas, I was taught that patience is a great virtue. Tiny daughters, God help them, with no voice in the selection, were named Patience. I have learned through most of the past century that it is impatience that is the true virtue. I suggested impatience to be the name of my only daughter. But I was instantly and sharply overruled by her mother. But I urge you, in your lifelong effort to make this a happier place to live for your immediate family and a happier place for the family of mankind, I urge you, I plead with you, be unrelentingly impatient. I have cited political and commercial frustrations in the timely increase of breadwinning employment to illustrate the stifling effect of time. Social progress is wholly dependent upon political and economic engines whose wheels move slowly because too many of us are too impatient, or are too patient, I should say. We cannot live by bread alone, but we must have our daily bread to live, and so must all persons, all peoples, if any of us is to conscience-free, fully enjoy our brief stay on this earth. Daily bread for everyone requires jobs for everyone physically, mentally, and emotionally able, so as to assure adequate care for those who are not able. All men are created equal, it is true, but mostly in the eyes of God. It remains for us to enjoy equality in sharing the bounty of this earth to provide equal opportunity to others. Equal opportunity is not denied by God, but by those whose gods are greed, selfishness, and oppression, the creators of poverty and starvation. Most churches perform great works of charity worldwide. None does more per member than the church that owns this university. Resources available, however, limit significant aid to disaster victims and those soon to die. The slowly starving and otherwise underprivileged comprise, it is said, over one-fourth of the Earth's population. The magnitude of the problem of nourishing them is such that it can be solved only through the combined and coordinated effort of all prosperous nations led by their Good Samaritans, and all organizations dedicated to the world's social well-being. The millennium of one world can be achieved in your lifetime, certainly in your children's lifetime, if all the haves are inspired to share a just a small portion of their largesse with the have-nots. Enough food is produced or could be produced today to feed the world. Hundreds of thousands die of malnutrition every day, while millions of acres lie fallow or produce life-saving food that is wasted or has no market for lack of equitable distribution. Great projects to achieve human progress are constantly undertaken and forever underway. Some succeed, many fail. The overall result is an inching ahead rather than the giant strides that are achievable if the world unites in peace and in love and in service of each other and all others. Communications is essential to speed up that process. Communication is the vital catalyst of progress the one effective offensive against time. We have superb communication tools, especially now the World Wide Web, which properly utilized can be the answer to the confusion of Babel. In America, we have found in democratic capitalism, imperfect though it is, the one best hope for the world, the best, perhaps the last hope, to achieve the ultimate goal of providing to all mankind the equal opportunity to enjoy this God-given earth. J. Golden Kimball, I was privileged to know this great man. J. Golden Kimball once said, "I love my brothers, and I love my sisters, but I love some a damn sight more than I love others." I agree. I agree with J. Golden. I believe we are free to pick and choose our friends who are well-fed, well-clothed, and well-housed. But I also believe we are mandated to love and serve all of our neighbors who are not. So, let us hang up the caps and gowns. I didn't get a cap. let's hang up the caps and gowns we so proudly wear today. Take the cloth of the Good Samaritan, and with the determination of a Danny Ainge, go coast to coast and around the world with the good news that we love our neighbors and that each of us will do whatever we can, whatever must be done to bring self-sufficiency to all, a life worth living. There is so much to do and so little time. Godspeed you on life's most rewarding journey, and God bless us all.